when I first got drafted, probably didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't think I knew what was going to happen, but, you know, thankfully I made the best of it. I think when it was first announced that, you know, this day was going to come, you know, I think it was maybe about 3 weeks ago, and, you know, some of you might have been wondering what took so long, but I just want you guys to know that for the past 3 weeks, I've been in negotiations with Jerry Reese about the terms of this one-day contract. I wanted a two-day contract, but, you know, obviously Jerry wasn't going for that. So we finally settled on a one-day contract, and I'm here, and, you know, I really must thank Mr. Reese, Jerry, for everything that he did. I know I was a real knucklehead at times, and, you know, for him to be as professional as he was and to handle that situation the way he did, it really showed what type of man he was. And, you know, me and him remain friends, and we're going to remain friends forever. I think it would be better for me to talk about some of the things that I learned from the people who were here rather than to sit up here and talk about myself. So I want to tell you guys a couple of stories about some of the guys here that you guys might not have known about. Start with Coach Coughlin. And Coach Coughlin, I think you guys know of him. You know the type of person that he shows you here, the tough personality that he has, and, you know, the gruff coach or whatever. But, you know, I had an opportunity to go down to Jacksonville. This was maybe in like 2005. And he was having an event there for the children. And I went there, and I walked into the ballroom, and, you know, I was sitting over there looking around, and in comes Coach Coughlin. And he was all smiles, and he was so happy, excited, and the whole room lit up when he walked in there. And for me, I had never seen that side of him, so I was looking like, what's going on? Who is this guy? But, you know, come to find out that this is a great man, and he's a very well-loved and well-respected man. And so I learned from that day on that you have to have two different personalities to be in the NFL. You have to have a personality that you present when you're at work, and you have to have a personality that you present when you're outside of work. And I really learned a lot from that day. He's a true inspiration to me, and the New York Giants are lucky to have him. I got to go to Mr. Mara. I can't say enough about Mr. Mara. I think I remember in 2008 when I had got hurt, and I was laying in the hospital, and everybody had left, and I was just laying there. They had told everybody I was out for the season. I didn't know what was going on. And it was about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, I see somebody walk into the hospital. And I look up, and I can't lie, my first reaction was, is that Jesus? That was the first thing that came to my head. Is this Jesus? But no, it was Mr. Mara, and he came in there and he sat with me for a little while and he talked to me. And till this day, I will never forget that, because it showed me what a person that he was. I wasn't going to be playing for the season. I was lost for the season. Everybody knew that. He did not have to do that. He didn't have to show that he was going to come in there and care for his player. But he did, and I really appreciate that also. I love you, Mr. Mara. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Mr. Steve Tisch. I know he's not here, but I got to tell you something funny about that guy. I think it was we had just won the second Super Bowl, and so he was having there was an event in the city, and it was a black tie event, like you had to be dressed to get in. So obviously, you know, I came. I was well prepared. I was dressed, but I had a friend with me. And he had on jean shorts and some sneakers. And you know, I guess that's just what people from Alabama do. I don't know, but this is what he had on. So we get to the door, and they refused to let us in because, obviously, my friend wasn't dressed appropriately, but I wasn't going to go in without him. So I'm standing out there, and I think word got to Mr. Tisch that one of his players was outside. And so Mr. Tisch comes to the door, and the manager proceeds to explain to him why he's not going to let my friend in. So Mr. Tisch sat there and patiently listened to him, and then at the end of it, he said, okay, this is what's going to happen here. You're either going to let this guy in, or I'm going to buy this place, and I'm going to turn it into a parking lot. So, So they let us in, and as I'm walking in, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, did this guy just tell this man that they were going to turn his place into a parking lot? So you see, as a player, you think you're the man, you think you're high and mighty, and then you really see what high and mighty really is. And and from that day on, I said to myself, you know what? That's who I want to be when I grow up, man. I want to be Mr. Tish. You know, it was really amazing. And so these are just some things that I've learned from all the people. I see my guy Zach over there. I see all these people out here, man. Like I said, Spax, Coach Nunn, Skiba, security people. This is Ebenezer, everybody, man. And this is really, really an unbelievable day. And I thank you guys for really coming out and supporting me throughout my career. My guy, Russell Spielman, my marketing guy. I can't forget about Russ. And just everybody in general. I know I probably forgot some people, but Paul, back there also, man. I see you too, man. So thank you guys, and any questions you guys have for me, man, I'll be glad to answer.
Oh, see, why was it important for you to do this here?
Yeah. Well, I played 10 years here. There was literally no doubt in my mind about what I wanted to do. And, you know, the hindsight is 20/20. You know, I think when it was time for me to, you know, to leave and go to Atlanta, I was excited about it. But once I got there, I was like, damn, you know, and you miss everything, man. There's nothing like being a New York Giant. And I wish some of the players here would truly understand that, because, you know, it's easy to think one thing, but once you get a chance to go somewhere else and experience something else, then you truly realize what family is. And New York is home for me. I would literally be on the plane when we would be coming back from games. And I love my Atlanta teammates now, don't get me wrong, but we would be watching games, we would be watching the Giants, and I would be openly cheering for the Giants in a plane full of Atlanta Falcons, and they'll be looking at me like, is this guy out of his mind? You know, what are you doing? But I just couldn't help myself. It was that Giant in me, and so there was no doubt about when it was time for me to retire, I was going to come here.
What did it mean to you to play for the Giants, for this franchise? What type of pride did you take? And thanks for talking to us. It's not Thursday. We appreciate it.
Right. Nah. It's really, really amazing. It's hard to explain. I think anybody who's been around here and who's won here will tell you that there's really absolutely nothing like winning here in New York. There's nothing like losing here too. That's horrible. but winning here is truly an amazing experience, and being around the people. I know that they give the media, they give you guys all kinds of flack, but you know, I truly got to understand that you guys had to do a job. And I really appreciated you guys for it. And there's really nothing like being in New York and playing here.
See, what did it mean to you that Michael Strahan, whenever he would tell anybody who would listen, mm-hmm. that you were going to be great, you were going to break his sack record? What did that confidence in you mean to you?
Right. Strahan was great, man. From an early age, like he taught me so much. And, you know, I love that guy. It was when I would see him, you know, he was the consummate professional, and he was what I aspired to be as a player and as a person. And so I would just sit back and watch him and see some of the things that he did, and I learned so much from him. So when he would say those things about me, like the inspiration was, because, you know, Stray's just not, he just doesn't say that type of stuff about anybody. So he would say that about me, and I believed him, and I listened to him, and I learned so much from him, man. He's my bigger brother.
How about for you, as you go back to your Giant career, what's your favorite moment? You've had a lot of them, but what's your favorite moment? Can you think of one real quick?
Honestly, I think the first Super Bowl we won, just being out there on that football field. And I think I was telling, you know, some of the people upstairs that, to me, it doesn't even seem like that's real. It's almost as like I watched it somewhere, you know, but it was an amazing experience. It was a dream experience, a dreamlike experience. And there was really nothing like winning that first Super Bowl. The second one was good, but the first one was unreal.
Coughlin said earlier to us that one takeaway from that game was the picture that is somewhere in this building of you, Tuck, and Strahan walking away from Brady. You know that picture?
Yeah. That was a great moment. You know, I think it's very few people who know the feeling of nobody giving you a chance to win. And going, like, if Coach Coughlin was praying, and I'm quite sure God himself probably said, you guys probably not going to win this game. you know, but for us to go out there and do that the way we did and dominate that offense the way we did, it was truly an experience, man. And you never really see defensive line play like that. Like, we controlled the game. Like, we determined the outcome of that game. You know, obviously, Spags came up with a tremendous game plan, and we went out there and executed it. So to see that and to know that defensive, I think that the NFL has changed because of that. You see more and more teams, you know, trying to go to the whole NASCAR package and put more and more pressure on the quarterback because they see that this is how you affect the game going forward. And to have been a part of that was serious.
You joked before about your battles with the Giants sometimes, but if you think back to your emotions back then, could you have imagined a time where they would welcome you back or you would want to be welcomed back?
Well, yes and no. Because you know, Jerry would always tell me that he loved me, that he was my guy, and I felt that. I honestly felt that from him. So yeah, I knew that after a certain point, maybe like the first time, I was like, man, what's going on? But after a certain point, I truly understood exactly where he was coming from. Like, how do you do that for a player and you have other players at his position and they're going to be asking for the same thing? You're going to cripple the franchise doing that. But when you're younger, you don't understand that. You just want to, you know, declare and get what you want to get. But, you know, he has to do what he has to do for the entire franchise, not just for one individual player. And I understood that, and he understood where I was coming from. I think everybody did. It's a business at the end of the day. But the love was never lost, no doubt about it.
What's next?
Oh, I'm going to London. Yeah, I took a job with the NFL, so I'm going to be working in London. I'll be going out there maybe in about a week or so. And I'm obviously, you know, they're trying to globalize the game. I have to give a shout-out to my man, Mark Waller, who's the president of NFL International. Man, he really came through and made something happen for me. So I'll be headed out there in about a week, and, you know, that's the next phase of my life, be the Michael Strahan of London.
What you're going to be doing specifically in London?
Well, a little bit of broadcasting, a little bit of teaching the game to the people. Whatever it is that they need me to do, I'll be out there doing. They haven't really said anything specific. They just said, we're taking you to London, and you're going to be in London. So I'm going to have to go into an office every day. I don't know how that's going to work, but, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity.
Well, see, one guy you took under your wing was Jason Pierre-Paul. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's going through some things right now. Have you been in touch with him?
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about what you tell him mm-hmm. to look forward to moving forward?
Jason is funny, man. I called Jason, and I called him. He didn't answer the phone. Instead of, you know, calling me back, he FaceTimed me. And I thought it was kind of weird FaceTiming another guy. I'd never really done that before. So I'm looking at Jason, we're looking at each other. Like, hi, Jason. He's waving at me. He's like, what's going on, folks? But he was in good spirits. You know, this was maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. He was in good spirits. He seemed, you know, like he was himself. Whenever he's ready, he's going to be back. There's no doubt about that. This team needs him. I think he knows that. Everybody knows that. A truly dominant football player. I haven't seen one like him since Strahan, honestly. So I think the team needs him. He needs this team. He has to come back, and I think he will come back and be strong.
You have a young defensive end on this team who thinks the world of you, right? In Ola Odigizua. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to meet him?
I talked to him actually last year before he came out, and you know, me and him just sat down and you know, we chatted a little bit right now. I watched some of his tape. He looks very explosive. He's going to be a great player for this franchise.
Elsie, are you exhausted football-wise? I mean, could you have, you know, everyone always says, I can play a little bit, I can do this, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, were there opportunities, and you feel, you know, if you had to, you could have still played?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I actually got an offer on Tuesday, you know, to go play, which I thought was pretty ironic. They had 6 months to do something, and then they wait till the day before I'm supposed to retire to be like, hey, what's going on? But no, I'm okay. Once I made the decision, I think a little while ago, I said to myself, I already know what it's like playing in another franchise, and Atlanta was great, no doubt about that. But for me, it was either I was going to play for the Giants or I wasn't going to play football at all. And, you know, once I became truly aware that, you know, obviously the Giants have some young players who they need to develop who would play the same position that I would be playing, And if I was there, I would do nothing but stunt their growth. Once that became aware and I understood that, I said to myself, why not retire? I have several opportunities. I'm not going to be a journeyman defensive end. I think I don't deserve that. So I made the decision to do that, and thankfully the Giants were gracious enough to let me do this.
Physically, how do you come out of this?
Live, man. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. I feel great. Like, my body is good. I don't feel any pain, no injuries. I lost, you know, some weight. So I think once the weight goes, you kind of lose a lot of the joint pain and stuff that comes along with it, man. So I feel good.
Can you say which team made you the offer?
No. You guys wouldn't like that if I. Well, actually, you probably would, but I'm not gonna do that. They don't deserve that.
Anything else? All right, Osi, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.